We're going to dig into that quite a bit more in just a minute.
Exactly. So what do we do first, though, Chris?
Well, tell us what's happening with weather.
Okay, from the National Weather Service, we have currently, it says 45 degrees.
It's cool out there.
It's cool, okay. It felt warmer, but
there's a little bit of sun happening when I came in.
We have a 30% chance of precipitation and a high today of 63, a low tonight of 42. I know there's been some frost warnings, so people are covering up their gardens at night sometimes in certain areas. We'll have decreasing clouds tonight. Tomorrow, sunny for the next 5 days. A high of 71 tomorrow and a low of 45 at night, but it's all clear coming up. So this is kind of the end of the rainy moment in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is a ton of stuff going on around town this weekend. It's like saturation of events here. Was Art Walk? Do you do Art Walk, Susie?
Sometimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They have the opening receptions that are kicking off on Friday. Bonner General is putting on, I think you guys are involved in the Find Your Strength Fun Run?
Yeah, the Hospital Foundation.
Yeah, that's happening on Saturday. That's a family fun run, so 1K and a 5K. And it just raises awareness of health, but also I think it does raise some money for the Bonner General Health Foundation, if I'm not
mistaken.
Yeah,
it actually funds. We have an internal grant program where the different departments can apply for money for things for their department.
Yeah. So that's happening on Saturday. The festival at Sandpoint is having their Snacks at Midnight fundraiser. The Sandpoint Renaissance Fair is happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And Schweitzer is opening for the summer, and they're having their community day, which includes chairlift rides for $10 to get up to the top of the mountain. And they have a bunch of stuff happening in the village. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's like 20 things going on this weekend. So check out our calendars on KRFY.org. Click on the community calendars link, and you can get details on the ones I just mentioned and see all the ones I didn't mention.
Because it's the beginning of the hour here of the morning show, I want to just give out a couple shout-outs, and we'll get to our great conversation here. During our 15th anniversary bash that we had at Matchwood, Matchwood provided 15 beers on air. It's a four-pack of special beers that's just for KRFY. They're currently sold out, but they'll have more later. You can go over there and pick up a four-pack. We also want to thank thank you to Matchwood for that. We want to thank the RFB band. That stands for Right Front Burner, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Paul, Dave, and Alva, members of the band. We want to thank the cakery on First. That was something else. This huge, gigantic cake.
And we ate it all.
It was all gone.
It was so huge. I said, we're never going to eat all that, but we had that many people there.
It was like 5x4 or something like that. So thank you to the cakery on First and everyone who participated and made it a special, as it should be, event for this independent community radio station.
Yeah, so the name of the beer is 15 Beers on Air, and it's like beers, years, kind of a play on words there. And I had one of the draft ones. It was very good, but I was too late to get one of the – you get like a four-pack of cans. And if you do go there and get that, we get a little bit of a donation.
Actually, 100% of the proceeds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's terrific. Thank you to Matchwood Brewing.
And
for
as an independent, nonprofit community radio station, you're always looking for an extra bit of funding to keep this on the air.
Yeah, and we appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. Okay.
So let's get into today's conversation. Again, we have with us the Bonner General Health Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Stacy Good. Dr. Good, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
And General Surgeon, Dr. Hannah Robbins. Dr. Robbins, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And tell you what, to get started, you guys are well known. I'm sure Dr. Good is, particularly to folks around town, but not everyone's going to know you. So tell us a little bit about your backgrounds, what your specialties are, and maybe a short story about how you wound up here in Sandpoint and at BGH. Why don't we go first, Dr. Good?
So I'm an emergency medicine physician by training, trained in the Army out at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in the Seattle-Tacoma area, and that's where I met my husband. Actually, one of our colleagues asked us if we wanted to go to Idaho to his marina to have a long weekend. We said, sure, but what's in Idaho? And went down to Bayview and really fell in love with the area. And Army moved us to Texas, and long story short, my husband ran into an ER doc in the middle of nowhere, Afghanistan, who actually helped found the ER practice here in the 1980s. And when we both got out, we came up here and interviewed, and 6 months later, we're both up here working. So I've been an ER doctor for about 12 years, and during COVID, transitioned a little bit into an administrative role, because they needed a voice and perspective as we went through that time. And that's really morphed into the position I'm in now as chief medical officer. So I do that full time, work in the ER, and then I also have a small concierge practice on the side dealing with some women's health and performance medicine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your role as chief medical officer, tell us a little bit more about that. What do you do as chief medical officer?
Yeah, so I oversee all of our providers and our clinics, and then really trying to get very creative in how we sustain healthcare, provide the needs to our community, and keep the sustainability of the hospital afloat in really difficult times. So those are kind of my big tasks on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking more about rural healthcare and the challenges that these hospitals and health providers face in these rural communities. But let's talk to Dr. Hannah Robbins, general surgeon at Bonner General. Can you tell us your short story about how you wound up here and what your roles are?
Yeah, so I'm from Vancouver, Washington. Both my husband and I are. And I trained at the University of Washington for medical school. And then I went to Portland for my residency for general surgery. I've had an interest in rural surgery for some time. I actually spent a year of my training in Coos Bay, Oregon, in a rural setting. And I've also had a special interest in breast cancer and breast cancer surgery, and did special courses in residency focusing in on breast and breast oncology. I, after training, was in Bremerton, Washington for a few years, and then came out to Sandpoint for this job. My senior partner, Dr. Nathan Canning, also trained at OHSU and reached out to the faculty there, and my name came up. And so I didn't know much about Sandpoint until they invited me out here for the position. But, you know, I think that I feel very blessed that this job is really a good fit for myself and for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How long have you been here now?
4 years.
Okay. And are you liking it?
Yeah, we love it. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we like it a lot.
Yeah, it's what keeps us all here. We love this place.
When you're talking about general surgery, with an emphasis on breast surgery, that's a large scope of knowledge.
Absolutely.
To know how to do all that different kind of surgery, from vascular or whatever is appropriate in the North Idaho area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, general surgery is a huge field, and it's becoming increasingly subspecialized, and general surgeons are harder and harder to find that actually can do full spectrum general surgery. And that's what you need in a rural community. Mm-hmm. You need somebody who can take out a gallbladder or take out a colon cancer, treat your appendicitis, do your colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I also have a passion for breast cancer, and specifically the plastic surgery component of it as well. And so I've done a fair amount of additional training through the Society of Breast Surgeons to do plastic surgery type reconstructions for breast cancers. So that's an interesting and fun avenue that I enjoy, but I also do full spectrum general surgery and take general surgery call at the hospital, which is what this community needs.
Right. Mm-hmm. For a small rural hospital to be set up to do more specific kind of surgeries like that, it takes a lot to have the right equipment and everything you need to provide those appropriate surgeries. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Bonner General Hospital purchased a new technology that allows us to localize breast cancers without a wire, which means a wire normally would stick a wire into the breast, which would help me find a cancer that I can't feel during surgery. But that can be challenging for multiple reasons. And so they invested in this technology that allows us to place a little seed that can be detected by a wand outside of the breast, which is kind of the new wave in breast surgery. So I'm very fortunate to the hospital for making financial investments in breast cancer surgery, because I think it's important to keep medical care in town when we can. And there's some things we can't do. We don't have a plastic surgeon in town. You can't get your implants placed here. But there's a lot that we can do for people and spare them those drives to Coeur d'Alene and to Sandpoint. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Spokane.
Spokane. Yeah.
Yeah. My elderly parents moved here with me when I came, and they have to make those drives, and it's very onerous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really taxing for them and the rest of the family. It doesn't seem like a big deal to, you know, make a drive down to Coeur d'Alene, but it really is. And mm-hmm. so the more we can keep local, I think the better.
Yeah, especially if you have chronic conditions and you have to go often.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I think Dr. Robbins hits on one point that I think really needs emphasis is finding physicians and surgeons especially that are willing and able and have the skills to work in rural healthcare is difficult, because subspecializing is so desired. And, you know, we get a lot of traumas here too. And being able to take a patient to the OR with specific traumas that we can care for here is a big deal, to be able to keep patients here. And it a lot of the times it helps with life-saving measures to be able to take care of them.
Dr. Good's husband and I saved a woman's life who was in a bad accident on 95. Her colon was completely transected by her seatbelt, and she was bleeding to death. And so we, Dr. Good, in the emergency room, patched her up, got a line, started giving her blood. I took her up to the operating room, stopped the bleeding, and then we shipped her to a trauma center where she received the rest of her care. But she would have bled to death if it wasn't for us here in this hospital treating her in the immediate
time frame. I immediately thought of.
Yeah, that was a good case.
That goes to how important it is to have
general surgeons.
Yeah, general surgeons. And a hospital, even. You know, some communities our size don't even have.
They don't.
They don't have hospitals like
that. Not even
do.
One, but to have three is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to keep focus on something that's coming up that's new for Bonner General Health, and that's the Community Health Conversation Series. The first one is going to kick off next Wednesday, June 17th. And this is the first in what's going to be a quarterly kind of town hall sort of talk about different topics. Why don't you tell us why the series came to be, and you know, what sorts of other things you might be talking about in the future, and then we'll circle back and focus more on the one that's coming next Wednesday.
Yeah, it actually stemmed from initially a conversation. It was a meeting several months ago at the library where a bunch of different people from the area, from all the way from Bonner's Ferry down to Coeur d'Alene, got together and was talking about obstetrics and labor and delivery, and just talking about the difficulties in rural healthcare. And a lot of people came out to that. And what surfaced from that was, what are the women's health needs in the community? And so the hospital board founded a women's health committee that I got voluntold to be the chair of. And that from there stemmed a lot of meetings with individuals and organizations within Bonner County. And from that we decided, hey, what are the real needs? What is our community asking for? What are the needs within women's health? And so that's where this came from. And then the other piece of it is, Bonner General, being a nonprofit hospital, is required federally through the Affordable Care Act to do something called a community health needs assessment every 3 years. And we pull the community and ask them a whole bunch of questions. And what came up that was, you know, the four biggest needs for the community were women's health, access to care, mental health, and then obesity and healthy lifestyles. So this conversation next week is kind of one of the first open forums we've done, where we're going to discuss A little bit about the closure of our labor and delivery, and then really delve into what services we have now, what we have coming with women's health, and where we're kind of looking for towards in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about labor and delivery services, since that has been a large topic for the community since Bonner General did reduce its services in that respect. And there were some underlying factors there, but one is that it kind of goes to how difficult it is for rural health care providers when there's a need in the community for a particular health service, but there's not such a big need that we can afford to bring doctors in that can specialize in that. And so from what I read, I understand that was a big part of the decision to reduce labor and delivery. But tell us a little bit more about the background on that decision for our community, and also what are women doing right now that to get those services? Are they all just driving Coeur d'Alene? I know there are some practitioners that help them here too.
Yeah. So to kind of summarize and keep it short, one of the things we're actually talking about before we went on air was the amount of physicians needed for calls. So we were, the year that we closed, doing about 250 deliveries a year. And we had 4 obstetricians, and that was what was required to be on call for the call burden. So we were basically doing less than 1 delivery a day. And in order to keep labor and delivery open, you had to have an obstetrical unit. So you had multiple nurses on, you had a nurse anesthetist on call. And so all that was laying dormant, but still costs a lot of money. And then we were seeing in Bonner County, there was about 450 deliveries a year being done. So 200 of them were either going somewhere else for delivery, they were doing home deliveries or some other avenue. So they weren't choosing Bonner General. And then rural healthcare is set up for very uncomplicated deliveries. So any pregnancy or delivery that became difficult immediately got shipped down south. So those were just kind of some of the issues that arose. And so that was, you know, part of the decision. There was also the legislature, the lack of pediatric coverage, because if you can't care for the newborn baby, then you can't deliver babies. So those were all things that became big factors. And then, you know, the biggest piece that we have no control over is how do you pay for it? And the reimbursement of labor and delivery services, women health in general, outside of surgical women's health, is dismal. So how do we do that? Hospitals close, and we're not in that situation, but it could have very easily gone in that direction had we not made that really difficult decision.
Mm. And so what are young women doing now for these healthcare needs?
Yeah, so Kootenai does have a certified nurse midwife that's up here sometimes 2 days a week for the prenatal care. A lot of women are delivering there. Newport Hospital, they still deliver. Bonner General stepped up and did a lot of training in the emergency department for, you know, those precipitous or those women that come and deliver. And since OB has closed, I think we've done only 11 deliveries with no complications. We'll knock on something there. And so there's been a lot of training both with EMS, our nurses, our emergency physicians, and fortunately we were able to keep a lot of our OB nurses in different roles in the hospital, and because they still have that knowledge, we really utilize them when we do have those moms come in, but we're able to mostly get them south when they need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my take on it is it's part of this is being driven by our demographic, where our county is getting older and there are just fewer young families here. And I know that the schools are expecting some lower enrollments in some of the years coming up because of that demographic trend. Even while we're growing, the folks that are moving into the area are often retirees.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We had a spokesperson come from the state and talked about the demographics, and that the biggest demographic that's growing right now is the 41 to like 60 year old range. But then even older, it's really healthy, wealthy older individuals with dual incomes that are moving here near retirement age, and they're often moving from places that have a ton of access, a ton of options with subspecialty care, and they don't really understand that we don't have a lot of that here. And so how do we kind of fill that gap and provide the services that we can in our hospital, knowing that those demographics are what they are and changing?
Yeah. I mean, you have to follow what the trend in the population is. There's no real escaping that. Now, that said, there have been, I know, a bunch of babies delivered in the emergency room. Am I right about that? I think I saw a number that there's been a number of deliveries made.
There's been about 11 since the closure.
Yeah, right. So that's, people should understand that. If there is that kind of need, Bonner General is here to help with that.
What constitutes an emergency delivery, too, also?
I mean, it's really under the discretion of us as ER physicians, and it is part of our training, is emergent deliveries. And so, I mean, if a baby's crowning, if they're in the later stages of labor, it's really kind of our call, what is safe for the mom to travel, what needs to be done here. So it really is kind of an in-the-moment decision with the physician on call.
Mm-hmm. Were those 11 babies, did they do okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. All of them.
No, that's great. That's what we want to hear.
Yep.
So, so labor and delivery services is going to be a topic you address at the community health conversation that's coming up next week. You know, what other sorts of topics will you drive into? I'm sure breast health services are going to be a topic, and maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that, Dr. Robbins.
Yeah, so I treat a lot of breast cancer, and as our demographic is aging, that is a unfortunately more and more necessary service to have here in town, because breast cancer tends to occur more frequently in postmenopausal women. And Bonner General Hospital has worked with me in expanding our breast program. We're hoping that with the funds from this year's Heart Ball, we can get a breast MRI up here, which would be lovely. Currently, patients have to drive all the way down to Coeur d'Alene for their breast MRIs. Some people are on high-risk screening regimens, so they get one every year. Oftentimes, those MRIs will show findings that need follow-up MRIs, follow-up biopsies. And so the workup for breast cancer can be very onerous. And if you're making a 1 to 2 hour drive for every single study, that can be costly and time-consuming as well. And some of our patients are not well-resourced. Some patients can't afford to drive to Coeur d'Alene. And so I think that would be a huge step for the community. And we're also hoping to get a stereotactic biopsy set up. So that's for biopsies that have to be done using mammographic guidance. Right now we do all of our biopsies, well, not all, but most of our biopsies using ultrasound guidance. And that doesn't capture all the different types of breast cancer.
Mm. When you talk about getting an breast MRI machine, it's not a cheap machine. It's expensive, but you can justify it due to possibly the aging demographics here, but also, you know, the travel and the things you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. It can make a big difference when someone is in that vulnerable place and need to have those kind of screenings on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So yeah. What justified the ability to buy that machine? Just need?
Need. I've been asking for it for 4 years.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, it's not
that
cheap.
Coil.
But I feel like people have been responsive. They've been listening. My office gave some numbers of how many breast MRIs we order every year, which continues to rise. And so the thought is that it, I don't know if it would be profitable per se, but I don't think that we're anticipating losing a lot of money on it in the long run. Is that accurate?
Yeah, one of the things I touched on earlier was being creative. And I think one of the aspects a lot of people forget is financial sustainability of a hospital. Everyone just thinks, oh, a hospital's there to take care of us. Well, they have to keep their doors open. So being creative in imaging modalities, surgeries, and then physicians that can do those surgeries, and honestly, like, how do we keep what Dr. Robbins says, patients here in the community, but then how and what avenues actually sustain the hospital? And surgery and imaging are one of those. And how that works in the rest of the hospitals, if that can sustain us, then those other aspects like mental health and primary care is able to be subsidized. So that's when I talk about the creative aspect, that's what we're really looking at.
Mm-hmm. And you did mention the Heart Ball, and that's a big fundraiser for the BGH Foundation, Bonner General Health Foundation. And every year, folks can mark this on their calendars. It comes along, I think, right around Valentine's Day. But it's a way you could support Bonner General Health but by going there and also, of course, donating to the foundation. And that is what kicked in the money for this machine.
Yes. We hope to. Yeah. It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
This coming year, the funds raised, hopefully. I think, is it official now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Now, I'm not an administrative person, so forgive me if I am giving away information. Yeah. But my understanding is that we were hopeful that the proceeds raised this year at the Heart Ball would go towards breast imaging.
Right.
So I'm okay. Really and we excited
need
about
we need
that.
The help of the foundation to be able to move forward with these really expensive purchases. We're looking at about $600,000 to $700,000 in equipment, and so you know when we sit at a very fine margin, we need help from the community, and I mean just like any nonprofit, right? So we actually have what we're funding the Heart Ball for early this year, which I'm excited about to really kind of get it out there and really raise funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one way everybody can support having a, you know, full service hospital here in our town. It's so important.
I was just told February 20th of next year is the date. I have someone from the hospital listening.
That's great. Yeah. Got a fact checker on board.
That's great.
So mark that down. February 20th next year is the Heart Ball. And it's could be a hot ticket, so plan to be there, but get your ticket early when they finally release those. Okay, so one of the other topics that's going to come up at the first health conversation on women's health, which is, again, next Wednesday, June 17th, it's going to be future opportunities for women's health care. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think that is where we really want to get the community involved because, as I said, the community health needs assessment said women's health. And what does that mean for our community? We'd like to really get feedback. Is that labor and delivery? Is that surgical gynecology, which we have been recruiting since the closure of labor and delivery? Is it, you know, more access to breast surgery and breast cancer care? What is it exactly that our community is looking for? So that's kind of the big bullet point that we're really relying on. Hopefully a good turnout and some good feedback.
Mm-hmm. You know, tell a little bit more about the format of the evening, because as I understand it, you do want that feedback. So there'll be some talks, but then there'll be an opportunity for the attendees to ask questions and
make comments. Yeah, so our CEO, John Hennessy, will be there as well as myself. And kind of give a brief overview and update about kind of where we are in the hospital, both from just an outlook, but also from a financial perspective. And then we'll touch on labor and delivery, any kind of big questions or confusions that kind of still surround that. And then Dr. Robbins is going to talk about a lot of what she's talking about today and kind of the vision and what she provides. And then we will open it up for questions. I guess in the last piece is what women's health services do we currently provide at Bonner General? A lot of feedback we get is we don't know what the hospital actually does. And we have a lot of that on our website. We have amazing social media, but how are people getting their information and what's a better way that we can reach our community members?
Yeah. On any point you're trying to get across, you really got to repeat it a lot of times in a lot of different mediums before it sinks into the community at large is what we've discovered. Is there anything else you want to tell us about this very first community health conversation that's coming up next week focusing on women's health?
No, I just encourage anyone and everyone to come out and participate. Like I said, it's one of the first times we've done this in this format, so it will be kind of, I don't want to say trial and error, but, you know, we'll see we'll see what kind of comes from it and hopefully be able to really build for future conversations, hopefully doing it quarterly.
It seems like a golden opportunity to get some of your questions answered and to clear up some of the misnomers about why things changed when they changed a few years ago and we lost some of our services for women's health. And also for people to know that we have Dr. Robbins in our community who is specializing in breast health and surgery. I didn't know that, and that's good to know. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, it will be a great opportunity for people to, another avenue to get information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would add one thing to that is I think physicians, providers in general move to this area for a reason. There's kind of a certain draw, a certain personality. And so we really have some really amazing physicians and services here. And I think that if people understood and knew that, it's not just rural healthcare is subpar in a lot of ways. I actually think it's superb. And so I'd really like to get that out to our community.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's the Bonner General Health, the very first community health conversation. It's going to be on women's health, and this is next Wednesday, June 17th. It's from 5:30 p.m. to about 7 p.m. It's in the Marigold Bistro, which is in the big Columbia Bank brick building in their community room there. Yeah, it's free. It's open to the public. Everyone's invited to come and bring your concerns and your questions. That's the whole idea, is to hear those. And it's going to be an interesting night for everyone that is concerned about these kinds of issues. And I did want to say, you spoke to this a little bit earlier, Dr. Good, that these issues aren't unique to us, that that Bonner General Health faces in a rural community. And I'm just curious, are there other rural communities grappling with these? They are. But are any of them like doing especially well that could be a model for how our community can deliver the health services that are needed when we have a small population?
Yeah, there really is a huge spread of hospitals that are really, really struggling. And we look at it based on financials, but cash days on hand that have, if the hospital were closed, how many days could they stay open? And then, so we have hospitals across the states that were boarded by that have 20, 30 days cash on hand, and we have some that have 300, 400, 500. And so it really is a vast range. So yes, we do look at the hospitals that are doing very well and how are they doing that? And a lot of that is requiring external money, philanthropy, fundraising, and really magnifying the services that kind of what I talked about earlier that really sustain the hospital financially to support the other services that are needed but just aren't as financially lucrative.
Mm-hmm. There was a story in the Idaho Capital Sun recently that Idaho is receiving over $185 million this year. It's the first year of federal funding through the Rural Health Transformation Program that was passed just within the last year. However, according to the Idaho Capital Sun story, Idaho lawmakers haven't figured out how to earmark or distribute the money, and they're obligated to do that by the October deadline. And I don't know, are there any concerns that Idaho is going to just like pass on this money that's so important for rural hospitals like we have all throughout our state?
Yeah, in fact, I think John will touch on that a lot next week. We are the only state in the country right now that has not dispersed those funds. And we don't even have a grant process to apply for those funds yet. And there's a lot of stipulations. It took our state legislature about 4.5 months to even create a committee. The House and the Senate fought, and finally the financial committee took it over. And so now they had to create a committee within that committee. And so if the state does not release those funds by October, we cannot apply for those funds next year. And that's a big deal, because if you were to disperse the funds right now and just say the amount of critical access hospitals in the state and divide that Well, now it's like 160-ish million because we had to pay the people in the committee to be a part of the committee. We'd each get about $5 million. And that's huge, huge for critical access hospitals. That's what Washington did. That's what we did during COVID. So we're waiting for that grant process, and then we're going to apply as much as we can and see what we can get.
And we have till October. What is something that can be done to push this along a little bit so that we don't lose that opportunity and the next year opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Can citizens...
Yeah, please get on the phone. That's and talk to your legislatures. You can Google who is on that committee, and they're all representatives in our state. Unfortunately, a lot of them are from down south. Not one of them is from a rural area. So really pushing on what we need up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to hear from people that there is real need. And if that money doesn't get used by Idaho, it goes back in the pot, goes to other states, basically.
It does. And we had, 4% cut in Medicaid. And about half of our population up here in Bonner County is Medicare and Medicaid. So the whole point of that was to help kind of subsidize that loss.
Mm-hmm. And that committee, you mentioned, go to that committee and find those people and go and talk to them or call them. Write to them. What's the name of the committee?
If you look up the Rural Health Transformation Act in Idaho, it'll show the finance committee that is overseeing it.
Rural Health Transformation
Fund.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You can Google it or go to Idaho Capital Sun. They had a story on it just within the last few days. Tell us. To stick to the community health conversations, we got three more coming up. They're going to be basically quarterly. They're going to be addressing the health care needs for the community that the survey that you recently conducted came up with. One is access to care. It might be a little bit early since I'm sure the programs haven't nearly been shaped up on these yet. The three other areas are access to care, mental health, and obesity and healthy lifestyles. What would you mention about those upcoming health conversations?
I would say it's fluid. I think a lot of that's going to come out of this one next week. And kind of with those, those are big topics. So What is that within that community health needs assessment that is needed? And even when something is needed, is it something that the hospital can fill that gap in? And if not, then I think it's a great opportunity to bring other organizations to partner with that can provide better access. Like, for example, Kiniksu has a different reimbursement model for some of their mental health services. We have a great mental health service department, but there's some needs that we can't fulfill, but our partner can. So I think it's going to be really interesting, and we'll be able to kind of see what that looks like after next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And mental health, I think, traditionally people haven't thought about that as like a, quote, healthcare need, but it's becoming more and more apparent. It really is. And are there services at BGH for that? And I know we have some other things like NAMI far north here, and some other organizations that do help with that from a nonprofit perspective. But what can you tell us about BGH services there or services generally in the community?
Yeah, we have a general behavioral health clinic. We have two psychiatric nurse practitioners. One really focuses, Natasha Talbot, focuses on women's health. She actually does a lot with prenatal and peri and postnatal care and depression after deliveries. And then we have two psychologists, Perry Harper and Megan Fox. And Megan Fox does a lot with the school district. She's phenomenal. She has ADHD testing. She's done a lot of educational series. Her and Jill Hicks have gotten some really big grants to really kind of wrap around families with neurodivergent children and provide education and access for those kids, for the teachers, the counselors, for the parents. And then we have another therapist in there as well. And they also do some help in the emergency department with mental health patients and sometimes upstairs as well. So we have a nice range of mental health providers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the final community health conversation, I don't know if it'll be last in the schedule, but obesity and healthy lifestyles, is that a big issue here in our community? Because we see a lot of people that are skiers and bikers and stuff out there, but there are a lot of folks that aren't.
Yeah, that one to me, Dr. Robbins, you do a lot of pre-surgical assessments. So that one's going to be an interesting one to me. That one's kind of like a black box because I don't know what that's going to look like. What is our role in that? Yes, diabetes, obesity, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, these are all big issues. I see a lot of that in the emergency department and the very end effects when it comes to stroke and end-stage renal disease and heart attacks. What does that look like? What is the issues within that? I think we'll be able to really get into that. And I think that's where the community being a part of this conversation is really important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, open mic here. Anything else you want to tell us about the upcoming community health conversations? First one, again, next Wednesday on women's health. Or anything else having to do with Bonner General Health that you guys may have on your mind that you want to let people know about?
I do.
Okay.
So I recently, this is Dr. Robbins, and being a breast surgeon and treating patients with breast cancer, you know, it's a very challenging diagnosis. Sometimes your treatment drags out for a year. You know, you can be disfigured. It can be very emotionally challenging. My mother had breast cancer, and I kind of saw her navigate that. And one thing we don't have up here is a breast cancer survivor group for women who have been through this traumatic experience to heal together. And so I started one, and we had our first meeting last month. It's called the Sandpoint Breast Cancer Survivor Fellowship. So feel free to look us up on Facebook. And if you have any past or present diagnosis of breast cancer, you don't have to be my patient, but I would love to have you at this group. And our purpose is to support women who have a new diagnosis of breast cancer, who can step into a pre-established group and get this just camaraderie and love that they need through these challenging times, and see other women who have been through this and come out the other side, oftentimes a stronger person. You know, just seeing some of the beautiful things that can grow through trials and tribulations in our lives. So I would encourage anyone who's interested to reach out. You can call my office, Sandpoint Surgical Associates, for information, or look us up on Facebook.
So on Facebook, what would they look for on Facebook?
Oh, it's breast cancer at Sandpoint Breast Cancer Survivor Fellowship. Okay. It's a group. You have to request membership because I'm not looking for people to come and advertise to us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's important as well. And anything else you want to throw out there?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in, BGH Chief Medical Officer Dr. Stacy Good and General Surgeon Dr. Hannah Robbins. We really appreciate
it. I think in listening to this conversation that a lot of people don't know what we do have here in North Idaho at Bonner General Health and all of your partners that you've talked about. And so this forum, this community conversation coming up at the Marigold Cafe on the 17th of June is another opportunity to get the word out, because it is uplifting to know that everyone's keenly aware of what we need, and people are working to bring that to our community. So thank you very much. Well, I'm going to put on a song, and then you and I will come back and do a little talking.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about things that are going on around
town. So our guests can leave here. I'm going to put on Brandi Carlile, Have You Ever, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. And again, thank you to our guests today, Dr. Robbins and Dr. Good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you ever wandered lonely through the woods? Everything that feels just as it should. You're part of a life there, you're part of something good. If you've ever wandered alone.
And that was Brandi Carlile, Have You Ever? And this is 88.5 KRFY, your independent community radio station at here in North Idaho. And this is the morning show. I'm here with Chris Bessler. I'm Susie Prez. We just had a really nice interview with folks from Bonner General Health, Dr. Stacy Good and Dr. Hannah Robbins, about our community healthcare system here. And so if you didn't get to hear the interview, what can they do, Chris?
Well, they can tune back in at 2 p.m. because we're going to have a rebroadcast. We're starting that where each day our morning show is going to be rebroadcast at 2 p.m. So if you don't catch it or you miss part of it or it just doesn't work out for you to catch it at 8 a.m., you can tune back in at 2 p.m. and hear the rebroadcast that same day. Or you can go to our website. That's krfy.org. And you can go to the podcast page and hear a recording of it. The recording on the website doesn't get posted till later in the afternoon, typically. So you'll have to wait a little bit to hear that there.
And again, we want to thank everyone who made our 15-year anniversary, could call it a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Russ Tomlin and I actually sang on the air, happy birthday to KRFY.
Okay. And there was a big old birthday cake from this new pastry shop called The Cakery, which is right down by our front door here on First Avenue, 323 North First Avenue. And it was terrific. You know, I'm not often a big birthday cake fan because they lay on the, it seems like they lay on the frosting too much, but this had like a perfect.
It was perfect.
Like a whipped cream frosting or something.
It was really good.
Yeah. And that's why the whole big 4x5 foot cake or whatever it was huge. They got completely eaten up by the crowd there.
And disappeared.
Yeah.
I think Jim Healy had a part to play in that too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah. I want to give you a little picture of what's coming up. So we want to thank Matchwood Brewing for the beer that they made, the 15 years on the air beer. Also, Paul, Dave, and Alva from the RFB band, the Cakery on First, and everyone who made this so spectacular. It was a really fun day. I got to interview some of the founders of the radio station, and that was fun. And here we are 15 years
later. We also broadcast it live, so some of the folks listening right now may have just heard it live on the air with that interspersed with our songs that we play. So
and again, so always thanks for listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have tonight Velma Queen of Fun coming up at 6 p.m. And tomorrow morning we have the morning show with Jamaica Stevens and Natalie Britton from the new store bakery called The Granary. And they're going to be talking about the Granary Block Party. I'm not sure what that is, but I think it's coming up.
It's coming up, yeah. Do tune in tonight for Velma Queen of Fun. It's she's like an encyclopedia of music.
Yeah, she knows her her music, and it's good music. You can be guaranteed of that. And next week on the Wednesday morning show, we have a tentative interview set up with folks from our local ranger district, from the Forest Service, about the upcoming fire season, so that we have all the information we need in order to be proactive and stay up to date on how things are disseminated and how to get the information you need at the time. So hopefully that's not going to be an issue this year, but it's good to have the information ahead of time in case.
Well, I'm going to be out of town myself. Maybe I'll go to KRFY.org and listen in.
Yeah.
Because you can do that. We have live streaming. You can hear us anywhere over the internet. 24 hours a day, actually. And of course, there's a lot of stuff going on around town this weekend. I rattled them off at the start of the show, but an art walk, the Renaissance Fair, the Find Your Strength Fun Run, Family Fun Run. Schweitzer's got their summer opening and community day on Saturday. So go to our website, krfy.org, and check out our community calendars for that and about 20 other things that are happening that we did not mention.
Right. And I have to say, KRFY has some great broadcasters, music folks, Bob Aldrich doing the Blues Hour on Friday night, and the list goes on. At that same website, krfy.org, you can see our program schedule and check out our local programmers because they work hard They are so dedicated. I just am amazed. They've been doing it a long time, just like you and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been, what we, how long have we been doing this, Susie?
At least track? 12 years. Yeah. No, 10 years maybe.
No, it's 12 years. 12 years. For sure. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's and, kind of amazing to think of that. Yeah.
And here we are. So I have some music. You ready to go?
I want to say thanks for listening, folks.
And we hope you have a great day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this next song is Mark Knopfler and Emmylou Harris called This Is Us. And there's a few other tunes coming up. Where's my cursor? There it is. There it is. Okay. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Bye now.